Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob. This is the next in the continuing series of Bible questions and answers. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 and following. How is Paul's description of an apostle different from the modern one? Are there apostles today? Oh my, can of worms. And I've talked about this before. And I have an extended article here that I wrote before. It's going to take a little while to get through it. Stay with me if you can. I think we need to investigate this thing. There's a lot of folks calling themselves apostles. It's an incredibly different description, I think. Some of the apostles that we're hearing about today and the ones that you read about right here in 1 Corinthians. Do you know of any self-styled apostles today who are, as Paul says, condemned to death, a spectacle to the world, a fool for Jesus, hungry, thirsty, poorly clothed, roughly treated, homeless, working with their own hands, persecuted, scum of the earth? That's what the apostles were. That's how Paul describes himself and his companions. And while we're speaking of apostles, please consider this piece that I wrote in a former publication. You know, it's raining apostles. It's raining. I mean, they're everywhere. In Islam, the apostles are the same as prophets, men who were sent by or who received a special revelation from God that is written and to be dispersed everywhere. Abraham, they say, Moses, Aaron, David, Jesus, Muhammad, and various other men whom we would call prophets are actually in the Islamic apostle list. So the Muslims have apostles. The Mormon Church has its quorum of 12 apostles, a governing body in Mormonism that is next to the presidency, looked to for leadership in the same general way that the College of Cardinals in Rome is respected. And of course, there is Rome. Rome believes that its bishops, the governing authorities of that communion, are successors of the apostles and are to govern entire cities of the faithful, though such a description was never made of any known Bible apostle. The apostles we know from studying scripture were quite transient and ceded their power to the local congregations and ministers thereof. Hierarchy is hard to trace in the book of Acts and the epistles. It's quite easy to see in the Roman Empire, though, which later served as a model for an increasingly power-hungry church leadership. No, the successors of the apostles are not the bishops of the Roman Church. The successors to Paul and Peter are the martyrs of the true Church of Jesus Christ through the years. Where else can we find apostles today? How about in your church? Mine? No. My, you say, no. No apostles in my church. We know they died out after the first century. Okay, fine. What do you call that guy that you send to Africa and the one in India supported by your congregation or denomination? Huh? All that. Yeah, we call these brothers missionaries. Fine. What does that mean? And where might I find an authorization for that title in the works of the Holy Spirit authors? Well, you say a missionary is just someone who is sent. Sent to preach the gospel. I guess the word itself is not in the Bible, you say. We just made it up, which is true. Well, right and wrong. Right, a missionary is someone who is sent. Wrong about the Bible reference. All you did was change the language. Missionary equals one sent from the Latin mitto. And isn't there a word that means sent? In the New Testament? Yeah. Apostle. Same person. You got it. Apostle is the very same word as missionary, though it comes to us from the Greek, apostello. So you do have apostles in your church. Oh, yeah, but it's not the same as a Bible apostle. Why? Well, the Bible apostles worked miracles, for one, and they had authority over the whole church. They're listed as first by Paul. Also, they were all eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ and all called personally by him, not by the church. Paul was an apostle, he said, not of men or by man, but by Jesus Christ. All true, but the term got sent down through the ages anyway. Rome claimed it as a way to link their hierarchy with the days of Acts. Now we even use it to describe men who are sent into the world with the gospel. So we're left with being forced into creating a distinction. Apostles of Christ were those original first century brothers whose call came directly from the Lord. Apostles of the church, well, now that can include a host of other people. But let's make sure that we don't capitalize the A. And maybe we should use an asterisk like they do in baseball records. When someone asks me if there are apostles in the church today, I quickly say yes. I'm not referring to those asterisk brothers and sisters either, but referring to the writings given to us by honest-to-goodness, biblically qualified brothers and not sisters. We still have Matthew in the church today, don't we? And John, and Paul, and Peter. We also have several men who were very close to these men, knew their lives, watched them minister, hung on their words, like Mark, and Luke, and Jude, and James, the half-brother of Jesus. But wait, there's more. Enter the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, and many other self-styled apostolic groups who believe they are on a mission from God in our day to restore the New Testament apostle with all the authority, spirit power, influence that the originals had. This is called muddying the water, if it's not muddied enough for you right now. I've spent hours listening to these men. And frankly, I respect some of their teachings. I respect some of their honesty. And some of them truly are above reproach, morally and ethically. I've learned not to condemn and judge anyone who could truly be a brother in Jesus. But I've also learned to ask the right questions of any of them and expect good answers. And if good answers are not forthcoming, I move on. In some cases, I share my findings with you. God's people have been deceived way too much. Gullible sheep we are, so easily distracted and pulled away from truth. I myself have been guilty of following some of the worst. God has had to put my nose back in the Word several times. Eat this, he says. That other stuff is dangerous. Paul spoke about false apostles in his day. Like Paul's detractors, the ones today can transform themselves into light and grab your money and your time and get on down the road faster than you can say, I've been deceived. Today's men are often turned into apostles by the suggestions of other men. Strange, when I wrote this article twice in 1 week, recently, when I wrote the article, someone had said to me that I had apostle or the apostolic in my ministry. Sounds so good. So enticing. And some men fall for it and begin to see what others are seeing. And before you know it, everyone is calling that person an apostle. After a while, there's even a demand for that title by the apostle. And worse. But that's not how Bible apostles came to be. You know the scriptures. Jesus appeared, called them, and they accepted, period. That's all there was to it. I'm still making room, both in scripture and today, for that small A guy, you understand, missionaries, people sent. But we need no more authoritarian types coming among us and taking over, which seems to be the agenda for some. a total reorganization of the church with the new apostles on top. Did you notice in Scripture that there's no list of qualifications for an apostle? That is, there's no set of requirements that I would lay before the church so that someone who is interested could try out and get trained, go to school. As for pastors and deacons, they have, in the Scripture, there are qualifications for pastors, ministers, deacons. Jesus chooses. Jesus trains. Jesus sends. The church must be hands-off if a Bible-type apostle shows up, which lets me know there may be none of these capital A-type apostles because there's no need for such. Apostles, capital A, lay the foundation. Apostles today are truly trying to lay some new ground rules, but the Scriptures must win out. That is, the words of original apostles trump the words of the ones claiming to be capital A apostles today. Why else do modern candidates believe they are apostles, and why do many people flock to them? The answer, of course, is miracles. Real or otherwise, or promised or assumed. Yes, the real miracles are out there. I do believe it. They come as an answer to the prayers of faithful and faith-filled believers. God's no respecter of persons. And often when people go to a meeting expecting that Jesus will heal them, he does. Why not? Did God ever tell us he'd stop answering prayer when the first century passed? But if an apostle, quote-unquote, is leading that meeting, guess who gets the credit sometimes? And his star power rises from there. Rome has been big in this through the years, too. When a pope dies, those who want him to be advanced to sainthood after death must come up with one miracle that he performed. Then he can be Saint so-and-so. Only one miracle is all it takes. If one believing brother, call him whatever you want, small or large A, prays the prayer of faith, and God hears and answers because that's who God is, suddenly we have a capital A apostle on our hands. He may fail in his prayers for hundreds of others, but one miracle ushers him into the club. Where am I going here? Jesus and the 12 healed all who came to them. It was such a power surge that it was consistently drawing crowds and getting the healer in serious trouble. In America, I'm pretty sure that 100% and anything near it is not happening. God heals through some believing men, but the healers are not therefore Bible apostles. They need to step down. They need to admit that their faith is not like the men of old. Nor is their gifting, nor is their office. Those who continue to raise themselves up and give themselves titles and receive honor among men shall be abased one day. Those who abolish their ambitious desire for a title and humbly serve as the little child Jesus used for a model will be exalted. But those seeking the office of Bible apostle will find out soon enough that all the positions are filled. The foundations of the New Jerusalem are laid, and the names of no modern apostle are on those pillars. Get over it, sirs and madams, and rejoin the rank and file servants of Jesus. All right, enough on that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:21. It says, what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Question, is Paul threatening violence? No, Paul is speaking of the rod of his mouth. He's describing a situation that might occur if there were people in the Corinthian church, if they would refuse to repent. No, Paul would never use physical violence, as this figurative term suggests. But if he had to excommunicate or ask God to intervene in some way, all those options are on the table for a true apostle of Jesus Christ. God has set these apostles first in the church. And the true ones will use that authority when needed. Let no man take them lightly, as they did Paul. How about 1 Corinthians 5:9? I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. So is this really the first letter to the Corinthians? We call it 1 Corinthians, but obviously not. The details are not important to us. But Paul did indeed write to them following a visit, which also is not recorded for us. There are certainly many apostolic activities of which we have no reporting at all. Now chapter 5, verses 2 and 11. You've become arrogant. You've not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. Verse 11. But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he's an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. So does the Bible teach excommunication and separation? Well, if 1 Corinthians is Bible and Paul is a Bible writer, then yes, it surely does. We do not deliver people to death as did the Roman system, but we do ask them to leave the comfort and security, the covering of the local church until such time as they repent and confess their sin to the body of Christ. This practice, when properly used, is a great deterrent to evil habits and teachings that surface from time to time. How sad that so very few churches use this tool for keeping the church holy. I'm in 6:3 now. Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? We will judge angels. Question, how and why will we judge angels? The prophets saw a time when the Lord's throne would be set up, but also when other ones will be nearby, those of some of his saints. Paul uses the pronoun we to describe this group, but obviously does not limit the judges to people of apostolic nature. He's saying that we will judge angels, so we can handle church disputes. Same we. All else that we say must be conjecture. Most assume that the angels in question are those who followed Satan into rebellion. In one sense, they're already judged. But in some way, we will be there to help carry out the sentence. But where will these fallen angels, these demons, be when Jesus comes? There's no account of their own gathering to greet Christ as his people shall. So where are they? Will it be a part of our first assignment as millennial rulers to track them down and bring them to trial? Oh, fascinating questions, don't you think? 1 Corinthians 6:9, what's the difference between effeminate and homosexual? I'm looking at the New American Standard Bible as it translates these two words in the Greek. It says, do you not know that the righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Fornicators, right? Idolaters, adulterers. And then it says, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Well, merely the difference between the, quote, female and the, quote, male in a homosexual matchup. That's all I want to say about that one. I have an extended piece that we'll go into on my next recording about what God says about homosexuality. Let's leave it there for now. Thank you so much for checking in here today. Do that again from day to day. Check out what's going on here at the Hackberry House of Chosun website of sermonaudio.com. Lord willing, I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.